Many Senate Republicans seem afraid to even engage in this debate. Shame on them, Madam President. If they don't like the laws that now exist in America, offer an amendment to make it weaker or stronger, whatever they, however they look at it. They shouldn't shut down debate or prevent us from voting on many thoughtful proposals to curb violence.
Guns, guns, guns! As divided as ever they are, the people who make the laws in this land. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. That was Senator Harry Reid, longtime Democrat from Nevada, and, of course, the Senate Majority Leader, talking about the filibuster planned by Rand Paul and Ted Cruz and several others like Senator Lee, Mitch McConnell throwing in on this one. They're like a gang of pirates now, always ready to do what they have to do. We'll board your ship to make sure that your crummy law does not get a vote. The problem is there's too many things that there really seems to be a non-agreement on, like extensive background checks. The Democrats think that if you sell your musket to your brother, you need an extensive background check. So too much paperwork has the Republicans seeing red, and I think this gun bill is wavering. The president is pushing for as much attention as he can. In fact, he spoke outside of Newtown, Connecticut, the University of Hartford, and in tow with him back to Washington, seven members plus of families who lost little kids in what happened at Sandy Hook Elementary. Remember the 20 kids, of course, being murdered by Adam Lanza. So the president's saying that he wants this gun bill. He is pushing for this thing to happen, but there is resistance. And what specifically Reid is talking about is that filibuster, that there is plans in the wings for a filibuster on this issue. Gun control proposals have absolutely smacked of partisan cooperation, not really bipartisan meetings. There has been a discussion and there's been an agreement on certain things, but still so many moves apart. And people screamed out when Obama was talking, "We want to vote. We want to vote, we want to vote, we want to vote." Remember, that was one of the things in the State of the Union address that Obama said about the vote. We want to vote, we want to vote, meaning, okay, let everybody have to vote on this. Make it come to a vote. This was a big deal for the Connecticut governor, Dan Malloy, who's basking in his own sweeping gun control legislation. Remember, that was just signed into law last week. And in this, lots and lots and lots of regulation that can't get through in Washington. And the problem that Obama faces is the fading of the shooting somewhat and the NRA smashing constantly against the White House front door. Smashing, smashing, smashing. So Harry Reid brought the legislation to the Senate floor on Monday. Actual debate didn't happen. Remember, they were out for 2 weeks, and now the lawmakers are back in D.C. He took the step after getting a letter from 13 conservative Republicans saying that they would use other tactics to prevent them from considering the measure. So that kind of move takes 60 votes to overcome, which is difficult if you do the math, 100. We know that is the number, 100. Conservatives are sticking by the "this violates Second Amendment right to bear arms," and that we have to look back at history, that government can't be everywhere all the time, and also the warning about oppression of a government that tries. Yeah, we don't want that. It's true that the government can't be in all places at all times because they furloughed half of the lawmakers. I mean, not lawmakers, the legal guys. I have a gun, I'm going to help you, only I can't do it today. I'm sorry, but we had some furloughs. And many people in many of the nooks and crannies where we broadcast know that if they don't have a gun and someone breaks in, they're going to wait how long to get a response because municipalities have had to slash their budgets when it comes to police officers. Some really operating on a very much a shoestring budget. So if you have nobody to send, you have nobody to send. Which is why you had that sheriff, if you remember, and I hate to always bring him up, but he made such a good point. The sheriff in Wisconsin saying, I think every single person should own a gun. It should be mandatory because you're going to have to wait and wait and wait. And if you have a gun on somebody, then we'll get there, but it's going to take us time. That's scary. It's going to take us time because what is it about? It's about time, time, time. I call 911. I'm in a closet. I know someone's broken the house. Boy, they got to save me. What am I going to do? I'm in the closet. I'm hovering. I'm cowering. I'm scared. This is it. I see my life flash before my eyes. I have a kid. They're under the bed. I couldn't make it out the back window. Right? So what do you do when you're not armed? What do you do when you don't have a means to protect yourself? And I always say on this show, listen, I don't care if you're right or right, left of left, or whatever you label yourself as. I guarantee you have an opinion on this. Do you think, really, you should have the right to defend your family with the weapon, to show your wife how to use that weapon, your girlfriend, your kids, whoever, so that everybody can make their choice if it comes down to that? Or would you prefer to do it the way the Brits do it, and all the bad guys have the weapons, which is true. I mean, they have the weapons. They'll get the weapons. Would you rather not deal with the weapon, think it's too dangerous, don't want it in the house, trust that other people will respond? 855-266-5283. Say it again, 855-266-5283. A couple of huge deaths. Margaret Thatcher, special relationship with Ronald Reagan, think Cold War, think Maggie Thatcher's regime. Some people really absolutely idolized her, loved her. Others would have rather she didn't stay in office so long. Maggie Thatcher had a stroke, died peacefully, supposedly 87 years old. Thatcher dead. No state funeral, but a big celebration at St. Paul's. Lots and lots of world leaders reacting to Margaret Thatcher, which seems like a very long time ago, dying in London. A lot of good quotes from Margaret Thatcher. A lot of good quotes. But more importantly, she fought communism, the Cold War, socialism in her own country, which was blowing up in their faces. And others thought she sold out to the banks. Coming up on the flip side, we're going to take a look at unemployment numbers with Derek Green from Project 21, a black conservative, from his point of view.
What do you do when your government is engaged in unconstitutional acts? And what should you do when our elected officials fail to uphold their oath to protect we the people from foreign and domestic enemies? Hello, fellow patriot. I'm Pastor Broden of the Constitutional Defenders of Texas, and we have discovered a constitutional answer to these questions. The answer is found in the First Amendment to the Constitution. The fifth platform in the First Amendment is the answer to our government operating in an unconstitutional way. The right to peaceably assemble and petition redress for grievances. Redress means to set right, to amend. It is a remedy for a wrong or an ill perpetrated against we the people. Sign our petition for redress at c.x.com. That's c.dot.x.com. Redress equals solution.
Being prepared against possible food shortages and economic collapse is not complicated. Just remember two words, disaster, stuff. Add .com after those two words and you've got just one site for all your preparedness needs. DisasterStuff.com prepares your family against food shortages with Linden Farms freeze-dried foods in buckets or Gourmet Reserves freeze-dried food in number 10 cans, both with free shipping. Purify and rid your water of contaminants with a Big Berkey or other Berkey system and get free shipping, plus a water level spigot or fluoride filter at cost. And protect your radios and other electronics from EMPs with our EMP Faraday bags, starting at just $5.90. When the food shortages and economic instability happens, be ready with all your stuff from DisasterStuff.com. Just remember two words, DisasterStuff.com. Freedom through self-reliance and personal responsibility.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Come again, catch us if you can. Time to get a move on. We will yell with all of our might. Catch us if you can. Catch us if you can. Catch us if you can. Catch us if you can.
Welcome back to America Tonight. We've had him on before. He's just terrific. Project 21's Derek Green. You know, we saw the numbers come out, the jobless numbers for March, and over the weekend, I really was crunching these numbers, and I shouldn't say my jaw dropped. It's kind of what I expected, and I think Derek feels the same way. Derek, when we look at the jobs report that came out, it was 7.6% for the month of March. What's happening? I thought we were going to see all this job creation from this administration.
Well, I don't know what's happening. I mean, I think what we see happening is what most people expected to happen, considering the policies and the position that the president has taken over the last 5 years. Of course, the unemployment rate, the number went down, but it's obviously not good news because the numbers of Americans who are underemployed or not employed at all continues to rise. And so when you have those two things in combination, you take a look at the number of people that are applying for and receiving federal disability. You see the number of people who are you know, enrolling themselves on the food stamp program as continue to go up. We see that the policies that the president is advocating aren't really working out. And the sad thing about that, aside from the fact that so many Americans are unemployed searching for work, is the fact that he's just not being held responsible for it.
Yeah. Yeah, and why do you think that is? Why is he getting a pass?
Well, you know, I think there's several reasons for it. I think one that I personally continue to go back to is the fact that he's the first black president. So I think that the standard that America is holding him to is not up to the standard of his predecessors. And I think that right there should be a direct signal to everyone who's paying attention that this is a logical conclusion of affirmative action. If he's as qualified as his predecessors, then we have to hold him to the same standard as we held them. But I think another reason is because the president is so ideologically left that I think with him, the last 50 years of the left ideology is encapsulated in this one man. And so when they have this guy who's able to advocate the position that he's been advocating and then deflect criticism of those policies by claiming racism, it's almost like a dream. It's a dream come true for people who have the same ideological position as the president. So I think those two reasons primarily are why he's not being held accountable. And then the third reason, which is kind of wrapped up in the previous two, is that the media, by and large, share the same worldview as he does, and they're not going to criticize somebody because, in essence, they'd be criticizing themselves.
Yeah. Do you think, you know, obviously you're talking about affirmative action and what's wrapped into that, and President Obama being the first black president in America, the two-termer. Do you think there's anything to do also with the whole Republican-Democrat thing wrapped in this? If this were Bush's administration or a Republican's administration, you think everybody would be criticizing them or no?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, we saw how, you know, Bush was criticized for the housing market imploding when it wasn't Bush that advocated the policies to begin with. We saw how when gas got to $2.75 and $3 a gallon, people were complaining, they were shouting that there's oil men in the White House, so on and so forth. But, you know, gas has been over, you know, reached and has surpassed $4 a gallon twice, at least twice under this presidency, and yet we hear nothing. And on top of that, we hear the fact that gas is going that high and he's looking toward algae exploration, and he's still sending money to, you know, so-called green, you know, energy and green technology and things like that. And we're not hearing the type of complaints that we would hear if the Republican that if the president that was in office was a Republican. So it is it's an ideological critique, and that's, you know, the ideological double standard. But I also think it does combine itself with the fact that, you know, we're not going to criticize, you know, the president as much because of what he represents.
Yeah. You know, if we break down the numbers, and I know you did it, and you look at what it is for younger people, my goodness, 24.2%. Derek, you and I could get jobs when we were kids, when we were trying to go to college or out of college right away or whatever, during college. What's happening to the younger people, even those that are younger than that, teenagers who really need to make that extra money?
You know, like you said, the jobs are just simply not there. Businesses aren't expanding at the rate that they need to expand to hire these teenagers, and the labor is simply not needed. You know, it's funny, like you said, when I was a teenager and a young adult, I had 2, 3, 4, and 5 jobs at the same time. Some of these, you know, kids can't get one, and so when you look at the fact that there's a 24% unemployment rate for our youth, you look at black youth and say, okay, that's 33%. What you're looking at is not just a bleak situation for the American economy now. What you have to look toward is saying, how bad is this going to be in the future? You know, so if a quarter of our kids can't get jobs, it's going to prevent them from getting themselves into the labor market at enough time to earn the job skills to make the economic advancement that's going to solidify their future. And so it's troubling on all sides, and it's very frightening. And I think that if we don't change the policy, you know, sooner rather than later, America's future is going to be really, really, really bleak.
Yeah, see, that's what I think. Because imagine the disillusionment, and what do you do? What's going to happen? What happens to people who are economically challenged? What happens to the people, because the middle class is slipping away? What happens to all those kids? Where are they? What's going to become of them? You know, you think, I can grab the brass ring. Like you said, you had a bunch of jobs. I had a bunch of jobs. That's what we did. We didn't even think about it. It was easy to get hired, and we needed that money. We were saving it up for school, and it was great. It was good for building self-esteem, and then it got us thinking about, okay, this is what we have to do. This is part of learning to be an adult, being responsible or paying for things, that kind of stuff.
Right.
So what does that do to really the self-esteem of all these kids?
Well, it automatically removes it. You know, my parents taught me that work was ennobling, and what I learned by working is that, you know, that's where your self-esteem is built, through the accomplishments that you are able to achieve based upon your merit. Now, when we have, you know, a quarter of 16 to 19-year-olds who are out of work, and I'd really love to see the statistics of unemployed recent college graduates to kind of see if that exacerbates the situation. What you have is millions of children living with their parents and prolonging you know, early adulthood until their 30s, if that, you know. And so, again, these are the type of policies that allow that to happen. Now what we have is we have a bunch of people who can't get jobs because the jobs aren't there. So then they start voting for policies that are going to take care of them in lieu of the jobs. And so it's almost like a cycle. They're voting, they're actually voting, supporting policies that actually enable them to be unemployed, you know. And so this is what we have to look for toward in the future. And like you said, with the middle class shrinking and this type of underclass growing, that's unsustainable. Our government can't sustain it because eventually you're going to run out of people to tax to have these programs, you know, to create and maintain these programs. And then what's going to happen? And I don't even want to think about that scenario, but that's where we're heading.
Yeah, I agree with you. What do you think? What's the one thing that could happen right now in the next year, next 2 years, that could flip this equation around? You know, you talked about food stamps. You talked about, geez, how big that was. We've talked about jobless claims. What would you like to see happen? If you could just do one thing, if you could throw out one thing.
Oh, God, one thing. That's so difficult because so many are intertwined. But, you know, to be honest, I would actually like to see two things if I could stretch it just a little
bit.
I would like to see the Congress under how can I nurse this? I would like to see the House and the Senate both controlled by the opposition party. Let's just say it like that. Because I think then he can't play as much as he thinks he can. And I think that what he is attempting to do may be emphasized and shown to be for what it is. But the second thing is that we just simply need a media that's going to report accurately and honestly about what the president's policies have done, what his intentions, you know, are in terms of what he's trying to legislate, and to at least bring back some sort of credibility in journalism so Americans who don't have the time to kind of research all the numbers and do things like that, and they won't simply rely on a quick soundbite or a headline of an article, but they can actually say, okay, this is what this guy is doing. This is what his policies are the results of his policies. This is what he's advocating. This is how it's affected the country. But more importantly, this is how it's affected me and my family. And so I'd like to see those two things in conjunction with one another to try to bring some sort of semblance of sanity back in terms of respectable coverage and forcing the president into some sort of responsible leadership.
Yeah, well said. Always a pleasure. Derek Green, Project 21. We'll talk to you again. Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
To have a fighting chance against cold and flu bugs, get the world's best garlic extract, Allicin Plus C. Fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi with Allicin Plus C. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Allicin Plus C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Allicin Plus C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Allicin Plus C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Allicin Plus C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Allicin Plus C. To order, call 855-ALLICIN. That's 855-255-4246. Or go to AllicinPlus.com, spelled AllicinPlus.com. Get Allicin Plus C from Affinity Health Products.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here. The coming financial collapse is real. The subsequent social unrest will happen. Even if you made it out of suburbia alive, where would you take your family? Act now to secure your survival retreat in the American Redoubt with the experts at SurvivalRetreatConsulting.com. The American Redoubt is the designated safe haven for all liberty-minded patriots relocating to Idaho, Montana, and Wyoming. Get eyes, ears, and boots on the ground. Get professional, confidential, discreet advice
Get survivalretreatconsulting.com. Call 208-627-2855. Save time, money, and stress while you secure your ultimate survival retreat property now, before it's too late. Water, energy, food, defense. Survivalretreatconsulting.com. Survivalretreatconsulting.com.
Do you owe the IRS money that you can't pay? Are tax liens and levies ruining your life? Are you tired of being afraid just to go to the mailbox? If this describes you, then Dan Pilla can help.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax problems for more than 30 years. In fact, I wrote the book that made it possible to negotiate settlements with the IRS, and I've helped thousands of people do exactly that. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. New changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever before eliminate their debts once and for all. There's no need for you to suffer another day with IRS debt. Call 800-346-6829. I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free. Contains all natural and certified organic ingredients. Contains no preservatives or animal products. Supports a healthy digestive and immune system. Supports weight loss. Improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
About all of you who like to email. I think it's the most thoughtful audience I've been around, because I have had plenty of people who have emailed shows that I've been on, but not to the extremes that many of you go to. So bravo. You like to think about it and then you email. Remember, you can always give us a call too and throw in your 2 cents at 855-266-5283. Thatcher, thumbs up, thumbs down. She was a polarizing figure. Did she do what she should have done for England in some very important years, or was she a bust and did she cater to the bankers and the fat cats and capitalism? I say she did do that. She did push for capitalism, which was great for England because they were drowning in socialism. They were drowning in problems, and she was smart, I think, to surround herself by the people that helped pull them out of the fire. Now a lot of people are saying it's Maggie Thatcher who put them in the mess and the trail that they're on now, but it's very easy to blame the person who's very removed from the PM job. So I would say that that's incorrect. I think she did an excellent job, was a strong leader as the Prime Minister of England in times that needed tight calls, calls that weren't about pleasing people, but were about getting a country back on course. And that's exactly what happened during a Cold War era. So many of you had things to say about Maggie Thatcher, even a few people, Annette Funicella, Mickey Mouse Club, remember, beach blanket, bingo kind of thing. Frankie Avalon was paired with her in a bunch of movies. She died at the age of 70. Thatcher dies at the age of 87. So without further ado, let's go to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
Thank you. Liz checks in and says, hey, Kate, two big deaths, very big extremes. Annette Funicella seemed like a class act. I saw her when she had just gotten sick and had talked about how debilitating it was, but didn't shy away from doing interviews when she could and whatnot. In fact, a friend of mine actually worked with Annette Funicella. And you look at the old footage of her, I'm still pretty young, I'm 38, but I have looked at it with my mom, who remembers Annette Funicella, and she was a beauty in her day. So I would say to the family of Annette Funicella, in one way, since she suffered for a very long time with multiple sclerosis, it may have been a relief. Yeah, she had it for 25 years, and a lot of that time, it was rough. I mean, she had it pretty rough when she got that diagnosis in 1987, and she was a big time connected to, you know, Disney. She was considered to be one of the Disney legends because she was an original Mouseketeer. And think of people who have been Mouseketeers: Justin Timberlake, Britney was a Mouseketeer, Christina Aguilera in modern times, and back then she was the star of the show, the bikini movies, and Frankie Avalon, and all the whole thing with the beach and whatnot. All right, here's one from Jacob who says, Margaret Thatcher, the Iron Lady, bravo. She didn't get enough credit, in my opinion, Kate. And that's because the world revolves around socialist ideas, always on the fringes. That country was collapsing in the middle thanks to that, and she took no prisoners. She did what she had to do in a scary time, as you remember. Margaret Thatcher was almost killed by the Irish, but their attempt did not knock her off. So she was tough when she had to be, and she did what she had to do to rule a country, so to speak. She was the prime minister, but to get a country back on its feet. Yeah, they really blast her a lot in England. And I said this before, but history-wise, it's worth repeating. From 75 to 90, she was the leader of the Conservative Party. And the reason she got the name was because she was politically very, very tough. She retired from public life after a stroke in 2002. She had a bunch of strokes as a result. She died from a stroke on Monday. She didn't make very many public appearances in her final months. She even missed a reception when it was her 85th birthday that was hosted by the Prime Minister David Cameron. And she skipped a few other things that she would probably have liked to be at, but her health was not very good. When she was at the helm of the British government, she was about the rights of the individual versus the state. That's the best way to put it. She declared and was ripped in half for it in some quarters for saying there is no such thing as society. She said that in the late 80s and then earned her nickname. And if you remember the Cold War and what was happening at the time, she was a major, major player in ending that. Major, major player. And became ultimately friendly with Mikhail Gorbachev. And it's interesting because if you know anything about the history of Thatcher, she had humble beginnings. She was a grocer's daughter, so a very modest background, but went to Oxford and was involved in politics from a very, very young age. In fact, gave her first political speech at the age of 20 years old. More people learned about Thatcher through the movie The Iron Lady, where Meryl Streep played Maggie Thatcher. So love her, hate her, think she did a terrible job, think she did a great job. She definitely is iconic in a sense. She was forced to resign in 1990 because there was a lot of struggles, leadership struggles, after she introduced a poll tax on community residents rather than property. It was unpopular. It led to more riots again after she had ended the riots. They started up again, so there were more riots. And initially she won a landslide election, re-election, all that kind of stuff. But eventually all of that eroded away, and she escaped an IRA terrorist bombing at her hotel in Brighton, very, very close to getting Maggie Thatcher, but they did not get her. And after she was done in 1990, she was awarded the U.S. Medal of Freedom by President George H.W. Bush in 1991. That was just after she stepped down as PM, and she also was awarded many, many things afterwards. And, you know, she attended Reagan's funeral in 2004, saying even in a pre-recorded video that Reagan was a great president, a great American, and a great man, and that she had lost a dear friend, and she certainly had her share of ups and downs in her personal life as well, you know, through her family and whatnot, but always remained with the same man, Dennis Thatcher, who she married when she was young, and they had a couple of kids. So Britain's first female, dead at the age of 87. A couple other quick reactions to that. One from the Mookster, who says Thatcher was the bomb. I don't understand how anyone can say she was a bust. Of course, that's people who want to live on the dole, as the Brits say. They want socialism, and they want it in this country. Margaret Thatcher would never stand for that. Here's one from Fast Eddie. Fast Eddie says, Thatcher was a bum. Really, honestly, I think just because she was a woman, they built her up as the greatest prime minister in British history. But really, she did exactly what her party wanted her to do, to the detriment of the people in England. See, I don't agree with that. If you think of the times, it wasn't to the detriment of the people. The people were drowning in it. Something had to be done to change what was going on. There wasn't enough money to come up with all these jobs. There wasn't enough money to support socialism, and capitalism started to thrive. The individual started to thrive more under Thatcher. So I suppose if you were somebody who was waiting for the handout versus somebody who was pursuing whatever it was they were pursuing career-wise, it's a different take on it. And conservative versus capitalism mixed in there, or anti-capitalism. And I suppose that's why there were a lot of people that were also made her an outcast. So she was... It was like the two faces, the two masks. She was an icon and an outcast without a doubt. Without a doubt. There are people now that would say, man, we need another Margaret Thatcher. We need somebody who knows how to attack the economy. And that's what she did. She revolutionized the approach to their failing economy in England. If you have something to say, you can do it by hitting me up through the miracle of snail mail, like all of those people did. AmericaTonight.net. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Is this the year you finally get serious about your family's drinking water? If so, keep listening for a special offer from Big Berkey Water Filters. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water is fluoridated? Berkey Water Filters distinguish themselves from many other filtration systems with the capability to significantly reduce dangerous chlorine, fluoride, arsenic, and disinfection byproducts from municipal water via the Black Berkey and PF line of filters. Then there's affordability. At only 1.7 cents per gallon, Berkey Water Filters purify treated and untreated water, even stagnant pond water. Stop and think how much money you could save by simply reducing buying bottled water and using water filtered by your Berkey water filter. No need to be constantly replacing expensive filters with a Berkey. A single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. Choose the best size Berkey for your needs at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And right now, all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Just call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Or visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Free shipping on every order over $50. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
What do you do when your propane runs out and you don't have a large amount of wood for cooking? That's when you need a Grover Rocket Stove from StockStorage.com. The Grover Rocket Stove starts easily with any combustible material, like junk mail, small twigs, leaves, weeds, or dry sagebrush. Then just add a small amount of kindling wood, and you'll be cooking entire meals in minutes. Grover Rocket Stoves are made right here in the USA, and are built to last a lifetime using heavy-duty, thick-gauge steel, and are painted with high-temp paint to withstand heat. Go to StockStorage.com and see three great Grover Rocket Stoves, stainless steel, heavy-duty, or our original Grover Rocket Stove for only $135. And get free shipping to the lower 48. For phone orders, call 801-361-6984 or go to StockStorage.com. That's 801-361-6984 or StockStorage.com. The original Grover Rocket Stove minimal wood use cooking stoves. Available exclusively from StockStorage.com.
America tonight, the big story in the world of sports anyway, for sports shorts, has to be this, my friends, and I know you're saying, oh, Kate Delaney, why are you telling us about sports? Because Dan, Dookie, Paul, John, and Bob all say they won their brackets. I don't know if I believe that. Michigan fails in its attempt. Louisville wins the national title. 82-76. It was a really good game if you invested any time in it because, you know, Louisville was trailing this one. Michigan looked like they were going to pull it out, but in the end, it was the Cardinals who roared up and lived up to the billing as the overall seed in the tournament, but it was not easy. There were four straight three-pointers that made a big difference, and the big difference was Luke Hancock off the bench. His hot hand really helped Louisville get back into it because he was able to break the spell that Michigan was working, and I'll tell you, it didn't look that way if you tuned in, like I said, earlier in the game. What a great year. What an exciting finish to the college basketball season. Matt Johnson, many of you asked about Matt because I've mentioned it now several times on the air that he was in a pool and he was close to winning the pool. Matt, people want to know the end of the saga, what happened?
Well, I ended up in third place, so I still win a little bit, but not as much as I wanted to. And if I would have done things a little differently, I ended up actually, even though I got the, I had Michigan winning it, I did have Louisville in the title game as well. And if I would have picked a couple other games correctly, I still would have been able to win because I actually finished about 5 or 6 points, I think, total out of first place.
Ooh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, so it's a little disappointing, but you can't win them all.
Nope, and at least you walk away with some profit. That's the key thing, because so many other people in these football pools, in these basketball pools for March Madness, really, they don't walk away with anything. They're just another number. It's tough to do. Sometimes there's a lot of people entered in them, so that's pretty exciting to at least get something, although it would have been nice to win the whole thing. And that's not what Louisville has to worry about. They are celebrating. They won the whole thing. And man, what a year it's been for Rick Pitino. He gets named to the Hall of Fame, and then he wins, his team wins the national title again. You think about the injured guard on that squad, Kevin Ware, people likening his injury to Joe Theismann's, that it was replayed over and over and over again. He landed and snapped his leg and was left just writhing, is the best way to say it, on the floor with bones sticking through the skin, and he had to sort of hobble along now in this winning moment on crutches, but he was there, and he was a big part of this team, a really big part of this team, even in the run to the finish here, so good for him that he was able to do that, because boy, it was scary looking a week ago. A week ago, it was not good when you thought about what happened with him, and they were able to pull it out. And now it's all about life after the season. Because remember, this is college. It seems like it's the buildup is so big. Doesn't it seem like it's pro? It's college. That means they go back to school. Back to school. And finish up, take their finals, whatever, but all the trappings of winning and the confetti, except for that the exposures that some of these college kids will get where they could ultimately be in the draft. So that what happened here may propel them a little bit higher. And there are guys on both of these squads that could go pretty high, so that's extra looks, baby, extra looks. And a very, very, very big win. Quick story about Dennis Rodman. Dennis Rodman was fired from Celebrity Apprentice, who cares, after he didn't spell Donald Trump's model wife Melania's name correctly. So he was booted for a spelling mistake. But have no fear, he still ended up on Saturday Night Live with a little tiny cameo. They were spoofing Kim Jong-un, and he appeared on camera, and it was pretty funny. And he said, he's Saturday Night Live. He always manages to resurrect himself, whether he's wearing a wedding gown or doing some other kinds of hijinks. Rodman, who was the ultimate rebounder in basketball, I mean, he could tell you anybody where the ball was going to go, what kind of bounce it would take. I interviewed him a couple of times, and he was actually an amazing basketball mind, even though he pulls all this nonsense that makes you chuckle or makes you think, yeah, whatever. He absolutely knows more than you would imagine about hoops, but a student of what's going to happen on the court, which is why he was such a good player. He had some raw talent, but he had hustle. I mean, he had really big hustle, and that pushed him over the top. Over the top. So congratulations bouncing back to Louisville for their big win. A huge title for that school. And what's also interesting is looking at, I don't know how many people are following the whole thing, but looking at the women and, you know, what ultimately could happen with the women, too. The women also treated like rock stars. if they can pull off the upset and beat Connecticut, because it would be a big upset, they'll become the second school to win both national championships in the same season. UConn did it in 2004. So Louisville has a chance to do the same thing for the women. If the women are able to do it, then then they would get that back-to-back. Be pretty big for that school. Wow. The women and the men. What are they doing there? What are the Cardinals made of? What's that about? You could ask that question, perhaps. You could ask that question. All right, speaking of asking the questions, Carter sent me a note about the NFL. He said, you know, you talk a lot about football. In fact, I like it when you talk about sports, so don't worry about other people who say you should just stick to politics, because it gives us a nice break from the same old wah, wah, wah. He didn't write it that way. I don't know what he was writing, but I'm just going to say wah, wah. And anyway, he mentions that, did you happen to see what games start the NFL season? And I did happen to see that. Preseason starts August 16th, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers take on the Patriots. They take on the Patriots. And then on the 18th, they've got Andrew Luck and the Colts facing the Giants. Ooh. Then you also have preseason action same day, or the next week rather, where you have the New Orleans Saints and the Houston Texans. So they're trying to get some bang for their buck for the preseason broadcasts. Raise your hand if you pay attention to every single preseason game in the NFL. I see no hands going up with my special infrared glasses. No hands. If it's your team, you're paying attention, but otherwise, you're not paying attention. It's like somebody said to me, one of these days, the dang Eagles will win the Super Bowl. Oh, clever man, are we in the same page? I hope in my lifetime I get to see the Eagles win a Super Bowl. But like most Philly fans, I'm not optimistic in that department.
Silver understands that mainstream medicine and the rising costs of healthcare can financially destroy any family. We simply cannot afford to get sick. The only option is to stay healthy. Americans are learning that ill health is not caused by a deficiency of drugs. It's usually the result of a deficiency of minerals, vitamins, proper nutrition, and exercise. UtopiaSilver.com offers colloidal silver and healing protocols for vaccine and radiation poisoning, arthritis, insomnia, and more. If you're sick of unconstitutional government mandates, then stand up now and say no. The time is growing short to put this evil genie back in its bottle. Join Utopia Silver in promoting good health and fighting for our God-given health care rights. Visit UtopiaSilver.com, UtopiaSilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338.